Welcome to the weekly podcast of River Valley Church. We're glad you're here. Our heart is to lead people to Jesus and launch them into their God-given purpose. So we pray you would encounter God in a fresh, new way today. To learn more about our church, visit rivervalley.org. Now, let's tune in to this week's message.
Well, today I'm going to preach a message from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to just get this out of the way with all the campuses, because Logan was teasing me, our youngest son, when he saw me in this shirt. He's like, are you going to just tell people, look into my shirt, look into my... I was like, what is that all about? It's been a long time since I wore a Pastor Rob shirt, and here we go again. All right. But I want to talk about Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you're not familiar, a couple weeks ago, I did the Culture Clash sermon. And we talked about the religious exemption, and there's still time. The time is running out of the legislative session, and Democrats are in lockstep on this. And most likely, it's going to have to go to the Supreme Court. We're not going to back down. We believe there should be a religious exemption. And so we're just like, yeah. And truth, when you're speaking the truth, you don't tire of still speaking the truth and appealing to people like, see the truth, see the truth. And so I do want you to know that there's been a lot of attacks on our family, and I've just been amazed by Becca, just the way she's doing. She's doing so good. I was just like, wow, you go, girl. And she's just so strong in all this. But there's been way more encouragement in all this. Just in the airport, you know, I'm standing there, and this guy comes up. He goes, hey, I don't go to your church, but I watched your message. Our son Logan, his neighbors came over, or he went over to the neighbors to meet him, and they said, hey, you tell your dad, we've been, you know, encouragement, emails flooding in, thank you for that. People just coming up to us at, when we're out to eat, saying, hey, we encourage. But I got one email that just stood out, and I just want to, it ties in with the message here. And this person struggles with desires and identity, and I'll keep them anonymous. But this line that was there, this person said, it says, most people feel you hate us, and yet I don't think you hate me or anyone like me. And when I read that, I actually started to cry, because it's true. I preach the hard things in love. I really do love people, and I want to preach the hard things and tell you the truth, because I want the best for you. And so that person just nailed it. And then this person talked of the hope and the power of God and said, I'm still hoping and believing in the power of God, and ended it by saying, please don't back down. And when I just read that, I cried when I read it to somebody else on our staff, and I started crying again. And I just, because my hope is that you will find the transformation and the power of God and the hope you're looking for. And anybody that thinks like anything that I would ever preach on, like, you hate, no, I don't hate anybody. And whenever I preach anything that is upsetting or confronting, like, you got to know on the inside, I'm pleading and begging. Just like Jesus, when he confronted the rich young ruler, the Bible tells us, I love that it tells us, he loved him. He didn't say, oh, here comes a rich guy, I'm going to get him. No, the rich guy came up to him, and it says Jesus loved him. Like, Jesus really wanted him to change for the better and to do what he said, and that's our heart in this. And so today, as I share Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm going to pick up from that where I said a couple weeks ago that you present your body, when your body and your mind don't match up, you present your body as a living sacrifice, and you ask God to renew your mind. There's a transformation that takes place. And in Romans, we're going to get there in just a minute. I'll read Romans 12, 1 and 2 in multiple translations. The Apostle Paul tells us for 11 chapters, like, this is the good news. This is like what God is about, and this is how much he loves you, and this is how he can save you and forgive you and transform your mind, and this is how your sins have separated you, and the wages of sin is death. And he's like, but, you know, like, this, God can forgive you. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is like the peak moment of Romans. This is the peak moment. And so when we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, there's a lot here, because he's like, this is how much God loves you. And then after that, he's like, here's who you should be because of how much God loves you and what he's done for you. And here's who you can become. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is the pinnacle. This is the peak. And so I want to read this verse for you in multiple translations. And so, and if you don't know, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, a little bit in Aramaic. And people, scholars, look at these words and they try to translate it for us the best we can into English. And so that's why we get these other translations. Sometimes it's a paraphrase, and other times they're trying to stay exactly to the words, all right? So I'm gonna read it to you in the New English Translation. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Now, let me read the Message paraphrase, all right? So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. All right, I'm gonna keep reading because I think as we read these different translations and paraphrase editions of this, it helps us understand this. And maybe at the end of it, like we almost could break into a promise principle and all, like, you know, break into groups and start talking. If you're not in that, those are great, great small groups, all right? Here's J.B. Phillips, and I learned about J.B. Phillips' translation or paraphrase when I was a kid. My dad had a copy of this, and he used to read it and say, it just made the word come alive. So it says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. This is good stuff. One more, all right? Amplified. You can never read too much word, the word of God in a sermon, all right? Here's the Amplified version, and again, I joke around that if you do the Amplified in your devotions, you're gonna fall behind, all right? Because it's long. It takes, every verse makes it longer, all right? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart, as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. This is great. This is peak of Romans. Like, this is it. This is the moment. And as I read there, Paul's saying, I exhort you, I urge you, I beg you. King James says, I beseech. I learned it in that version. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech. And commentaries have said that in this moment, it's almost as if Paul at this spot falls to his knees. And he's like, I'm begging you to get this. I'm begging you to understand this. I'm begging you to understand God's been so good. This is the key. I'm begging you from my knees, do this. That's how strong Paul is writing this. And he said, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. Now for us, we don't understand sacrifices, and that's because we're too far from the farm. I remember, I love that series. I mean, like, we don't understand it, but they did. And they're like, okay, wait, we're gonna be a living sacrifice. And they would understand, if you don't know about sacrifices, before Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, in order for people to be right with God, the Jewish people would come and they would offer a sacrifice. They would bring a living animal, and they would present it to the priest. That animal would then be killed and then placed on the altar, and it would be burnt up and consumed as a sacrifice to God. I mean, it was living, it was killed, and it was sacrificed. And interesting, You could never offer. Fish were never offered as a sacrifice to God because the moment you take them out of the water, they're actually starting to die. And something had to come to God living, perfectly spotless, like living, and then its life be taken. It was just such a strict thing about what could be sacrificed. And when these animals were sacrificed, it would make atonement. It would cover. It would make amends. It was like God's like, okay, what you've done wrong has now been made amends by this animal dying. And you see that animal dying and you'd walk away saying, okay, that paid, like, okay, that made me right with God. 24 times in the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, 24 times it says that these sacrifices were a sweet-smelling savor to God. It was an acceptable thing. There was something about the fact that this animal was sacrificed that God was like, okay, because blood was shed, I understand the price. Sin is so bad. And he's like, sin is so bad that something had to die so that it could be, you could have your, you know, atonement. You could have it be made amends, okay? And God would say 24 times, like, these are sweet-smelling. It's sweet-smelling. And that's why in Ephesians 5:2 it says, walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as what? A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When Jesus died on the cross, God was like, that blood is being shed. And he didn't get burned, but he died. He was sacrificed. And God's like, that blood, like, covers the sins. It makes amends. And it's absolutely beautiful to see what Jesus Christ has done. And because Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sins, now we can do this, not instead of, I want to be very clear, not instead of, but because of. Because Jesus Christ paid the price, we can now offer our bodies as living sacrifices, all right? So we're gonna offer ourselves a living sacrifice, and it's not a one-time event. How many know you offer yourself as a living sacrifice every single day? And one old pastor, he said this. He said, the problem with a living sacrifice is it always wants to crawl off the altar. It wants to get up like, God, I'm a living sacrifice, but not today. There's something fun happening at work. All right, no, not today. Oh, no, I got a big date. No, not today. Oh, no. Don't crawl off the altar. Be a living sacrifice. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you said, Lord, you get all of me. Every day, all of me. And if somebody didn't explain it to you that way, I'm sorry. But you literally gave your life to Jesus. You said, I'm no longer going to live for myself. I'm living for you. I receive the grace that you're giving me. You were the sacrifice. And I received the grace and forgiveness. And now I'm giving you my life. You have control. I'm a living sacrifice on the altar for you. And I want to live every day for your glory and for your honor. And you're going to live it out in the living room and the boardroom and the lunchroom. And somebody say, well, I'll be holy at church. No, you're going to be a living sacrifice everywhere you go. That's the way we live, all right? So this is what Paul is saying, like, all right, we're a living, like, God has been so good to us. And he says, now don't be conformed to this present world. He said, don't be a chameleon, don't be conformed to this. He said, there's something that's gonna happen. He says, I want you to be transformed. And this is where we get the word metamorphosis from, like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. He's like, I want you to be transformed. And so you think, okay, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I received this forgiveness. And now he wants me to be transformed. I'm changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Like, there's a big change going on. All right? And we need this. We need this. Why? Let me go back for just a moment. We need this because our minds have been conditioned with all sorts of things that are not godly, with anxiety and corruption and conflict and impulses and instincts and beliefs and behaviors that we've been conditioned by this world. The carnal nature, like our flesh, has been conditioned, and culture around you says, no, that's okay. That's okay. Matter of fact, culture is so good at saying things are okay, they even say new names for sins. It's not adultery, it's an affair. You know, oh no, it's not, you understand? They just make it nicer, make it nicer sounding. And no, these are sinful things. And so he says, no, I want you because you've been conditioned and you have to get rid of this wrong thinking. And we've been conditioned in so many ways. Like, I don't have time to go into it, but Jonathan Haidt did a thing about moral foundations theories. And he said there's six things in every culture like that people look at. And one of the things that we've been conditioned to think is, well, it doesn't harm anybody. You don't realize, like, you'll hear a sermon and you'll think, I don't know why he was saying that. I mean, it doesn't harm anybody. What harm is it if I get drunk at home and I'm not even driving? I mean, why would Pastor Rob say I can't get drunk because I'm not even driving? We think like God's like, it's wrong for you if you're the designated driver. No, he's like, no, don't get drunk. But we've been conditioned so much, like, what harm? If it didn't hurt anybody else, who cares? No, God's like, no, you don't understand. That's wrong thinking, and I want your mind to be transformed, and I want you to understand you've been conditioned to think wrong, and I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we get to be transformed. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God's like, I'm going to transform you, and I'm going to help you think right. I'm going to renew your mind. And it's a renewing of the mind was a new thing. When Paul wrote this, the renewal of the mind was not something that you would find in literature. It was not something you'd find in culture. And here's Paul saying, like, when you give your life to Jesus Christ and he becomes your Lord and Savior, because he's been so good to you because of the mercies of God, like, you get to present your body a living sacrifice. You get to leave here and every day you get to just serve him with your body. And then guess what? You get to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like, whoa, God's going to help you think differently than you used to think. It's a beautiful thing. And he's like, and when you do this, when you get this renewed thinking, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to test and approve what is good. Like, when your thinking is right, you're going to test and approve what is good. How many know, like when you first give your life to Jesus Christ, all right, he forgives you and your mind hasn't been renewed. All of a sudden you kind of have that moment like, I wonder if I could do that. It probably isn't good, but I'm not sure because mom and dad did it and I've been doing this. And you kind of have that moment in the Holy Spirit. And so you're kind of like, is that the Holy Spirit that's telling me that this isn't good? And you don't know. So you're like, phone a friend. How many know what I'm talking about? You're like, you're just picking that option. Phone a friend, you know? And like, hey, I was just wondering, like, is God okay if I do this? Like, I remember when my mom and dad told this story that when they got saved, they just thought, like, we'll start reading the Bible, start in Genesis. It's the beginning. It's like a book, like any other book, right? They start reading. They get in Leviticus, and they're like, we got to talk to our pastor. Like, we're not sure we can eat at Red Lobster anymore. Like, I don't know. They call him up. Can we eat at Red Lobster? You know, and he's like, oh, no, yeah, that's okay. You know, that wasn't a moral law. That was a civil law that they had to obey okay. All right, because we're worried, you know, and we've got some clothes that have wool and cotton. We didn't know if we could have to throw those out too, you know. You're like, no, that's okay. That's okay. But the moral ones you want to follow, like, you know, you're just trying to figure out. But Paul says when your mind has been transformed, you're going to be able to think through these things. And when you're not able to phone a friend, you're going to understand what you should do. When you leave church today, if you've been renewing your mind and you're a mature believer and you're able to test and approve this, you know what's right and wrong, all right? And I think about this. The goal is for everyone to mature so that when you leave here or you can't get a hold of a pastor or your small group leader or phone a friend, you get the point, when it's just you and God, that you're mature enough that you understand what he wants you to do, that when the leash is taken off, you're right there next to God. Now, I think about this because we've had a couple of dogs in our family. My brother Rick, for a while, needed us to have his dog at our house. Max was his name. Man, that dog was trained. I mean, that dog was like, I mean, you say, Max, and he'd come right heel. And you'd make him wait, and you'd throw the bumper, and then you'd say his name, and boom, he'd take off. I mean, he was trained. He was so trained that our kids would imitate him. They're like, Dad, just, I'll sit here and I'll say his name. Say my name, say it, Connor. And then Connor would run and go, I mean, I'd get arrested today, but you know, they loved it. Like, hey, he was like obedient. And it was like Max could read Rick's mind. It was like he was so in tune. He knew Rick's thoughts that like he would just do, like he was there. He took the leash off him. He did not run around. He was like right there. We had another dog at our house named Lexi, all right, and a little Yorkie. And we thought we'd get this dog. She'd love our kids. She hated the kids, you know, hated them. Loved Becca, hated the kids, you know. We'd put her on a leash and she'd do the brake thing. How many know what I'm talking about? We'd be dragging her on the walk, you know. But as soon as we took her off the leash, you know what she did? And she'd run. And run around the yard. Run. And we'd be chasing her. Let's say. We'd be, you know, all four of us running around. Let's say. And then we figured out after a while, like she'd run and then like something happened to her. She'd have a seizure. Like she couldn't handle the air. She'd be running so much. Also, she'd be like, and she laid out. Then we'd catch her. So we just let her run until she, now she go, yeah. So where did I go? You're like, why did I tell that story? You know, therapy, you know, no. Paul's saying here, when you know and your mind has been renewed, you're gonna be like Max. When you're immature, you're like Lexi running around. You're like, the leash is off. My small group leader can't find me. You know, church can't find me. No, that's not the way you're gonna live. You're gonna live that when the leash is taken off, you're like, I know what God wants. He wants me right here. I know when he's going to say my I'm like Max. I know what God wants me to do. So Paul's saying, I want you to have this so that you can prove and test it and you'll know what's right. So how do we renew our mind? Because I want to get into some practical things because there's battle of the old thinking. We come again with all these bad thoughts and the way we're raised. And all of a sudden we see in the Bible, like, I'll just give you things like, you know, forgive your enemies. You're like, what? What? That, how can God want us to do that? You know? It's interesting, 3 weeks ago, like, I think it was 3 weeks ago when I preached the culture class, maybe two, and I went to City Campus. And I, as they were walking out from City Campus, as I preached that culture class message, a couple come up to me and they said, we've never heard what you said today. Like, no one's ever told us that, ever. And they said, it has really challenged our thinking. And they said, we're going home, we're going to dig into this, we're going to think about it, and we're going to call our campus pastor. We want to talk about this. And I hugged him and I said, thank, like, that's what's happening. Like, I had old thinking, and now I'm seeing what God says, and I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I'm going to have this battle of old thoughts, but I want to bring it to God's word. I want to bring it to my pastor, my small group leader, somebody who might be mentoring me, and I want to see what this says, and I want my thinking to be different. And we have about 50,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day, so we better get this right with the renewing of our mind. So how can we renew our mind? Here's some just practical steps. Number one, make it your desire for your life to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Make it your desire that you literally, like, you want God's thoughts. I mean, I can't imagine that you would give your life to Jesus Christ, then you'd say, leave me alone in the old patterns that I have. Leave me in my dysfunction. Make it your goal and your desire. Like, God, I want the mind of Christ. I want your way of thinking. Like, I really want to lean in. And I know sometimes people joke about it. Like, they're saying, like, oh, no, you're preaching on that next week. I want to skip that because I don't want to hear it, you know. And then you're going to tell me what I have to, you know. Ah, and it's like they're almost like, la, 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 you know. No. You want to get his thinking. You want to be renewed. You want the mind of Christ. And you want to say, Lord, I come to you with lots of polluted thinking, which has led to toxic and bad behavior. And God, I want you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to renew my mind so I can be transformed and look more like you. So that is a something you say, I want this. I want this. Second, stop believing you can't control your thoughts. When it comes to your thought life and your renewal, you're like, no, it's just like a broken record, a broken pattern. No, you can control them. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You take captive, like, no, wait a minute. I challenge that thought. That doesn't sound like the way Jesus would live. When I read the Bible, that doesn't sound like he'd want me to live that way. Why do I think that way? And you take that thought captive. You say, I'm not going to think that way. There's times where I've had to take a thought captive, like, well, they're just being mean to us. And wait a minute, take that thought captive. Maybe they're having a bad day. Why are you just going right down that road of destructive thinking? Take the thought captive. So you're going to say, God, I desire to have my mind transformed, my life transformed by the renewing of my mind. Secondly, I'm going to stop believing that I can't control my thoughts. Third, you're going to feed your mind with truth. Okay, you're going to feed your mind with truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, God's word is the truth. All right, we talk about soap, scripture, observation, application, prayer. We've been saying it over and over and over again. I talked to a guy this week. He's like, I started doing it. It works. Yes, it does. It works, and it works when you read it. Have you seen that video of that little boy, the little Asian boy, that he's taking the book and he opens it up and then he takes the page and he goes like, and then he opens the book and he turns to the next page and he goes like that. And it doesn't work that way, all right? It doesn't work. You got to read it. You read it. You read the word of God and you're like, I'm going to the truth. I'm going to the word of God. And as you read the word of God, it renews your mind. It challenges you. Joshua 1:8, the Lord told Joshua, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. We're going to get the truth in by getting God's word into us. And if you're not reading God's word, you're not going to have that transformation of your mind. And so you need to keep reading it and getting it. And beautiful thing. I don't know how many years I've been reading the Bible. I think, well, I get saved at 7, so 51 years I've been reading the Bible, and it's new every day. I'm like, have you ever done that? Like I remember when I had paper Bible, and now I'm all digital, you know, but paper Bible, and I'd highlight a verse, and then I'd read it like 3 years later, and I'm like, why'd I highlight that? You know, like, and you got all new highlights, okay? It's alive, and it speaks to you. All right, a couple more things. Resist negative thoughts and assist positive thoughts. Resist negative thoughts and assist positive thoughts. And while I'm at it, I do want to give credit where I got this from. Some of this came from Hungry Gen Church in Washington State, so I do want to give them credit. Resist and assist. Again, going back to 2 Corinthians 10:5, we're demolishing the arguments, we're taking them captive, we're resisting those things, and we're assisting the good. Some of you need to assist the good thoughts and the things that God says over you and what his word says. I remember, again, going old school, but I remember Becca would have these note cards next to the bed, and she'd get up in the morning, and when she was battling anxiety, she would just read them, and she was like, I'm renewing my mind, I'm being transformed, and she would take those, and before she'd even get out of bed, she would read those verses right there. Some of you might need note cards. Some of you might need to have it in your phone. I have this, you know, the 100 most read verses, and sometimes I'll just tell Siri, Siri, read me the 100 most read verses, and she'll read it to me while I'm driving my car, and I'm hearing this, and I'm getting these things, and I'm assisting this. You might need to say it out loud. Out loud. Sometimes I'll say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am more than a conqueror. I'll say it out loud in order to have my mind being renewed. I said it 2 weeks ago, bring thoughts to the Bible to be filtered. We're going to bring our thoughts to the Bible. Like if you have a family thought or this or that, we're going to bring it to the Bible to be filtered. People say, well, I feel this. And I say, no, I don't care what you feel. Well, no, we're not going to feel our way into the renewal. We're going to go to the word of God and say, what do you have to say? The Bible says this about feeling good about something that's wrong. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I'm not going to feel like, it feels right. No, no, no. We're going to bring it to the Word of God. Two more. Be willing to receive correction and let go of old patterns. Be willing to receive correction and let go of old patterns. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for what? For teaching, but it also says for rebuking and correcting and training. Sometimes it rebukes you and says, you've been doing this wrong. Sometimes it corrects you and it says, nope, we're gonna make a correction here. This is how your mind is gonna get renewed. You're gonna get transformed by being corrected, and then it trains us. And then the last thing I'd say is celebrate your progress. I mean, you don't see how much you're growing, but you do real, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I must be changing because I'm handling my money differently. I must be changing because I actually forgave somebody. I must be changing, and you just forget. I want you to celebrate your progress. Years, years, years ago, there was a button that had these initials on it, PBPWMGNFWMY. It was a little button, how those, and you look at it like, what word is that? It wasn't a word. It stood for, please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. Okay? Like, I'm making progress. I'm being renewed. You should have seen before when God took the leash off of me. I ran around. Yeah? Now I stop. And I stay near to him. I believe this. I believe that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if we'll apply these things, God will give you the change that you're looking for. He's working. It's more organic in you when you let Christ be formed in you and you say, God, I desire to be like you. I desire to be like you. And I bring these thoughts and things to you. God, renew them in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just pray right now that you'd help us to do this, that we'd draw strength from this and we'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I pray that we would challenge old thinking and old patterns and carnal nature and things that want to destroy us and want to keep us from abundant life. Help us to challenge those things and to live being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lastly, I pray, Lord, that we'd give our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, we are all yours, our body, our mind, our spirit. Lord, we give all of it to you, our soul. We just thank you, God. Help us to be a living sacrifice and to live different than the world around us because you've changed us and you've forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.